brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Morning. God bless you. It's good to see you all once again in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer? Ask Brother Marcel if he leads the Lord in prayer this morning.
Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us this morning to come before you. And Lord, we come before you humbly and ask you, Father, may you help us, Lord. And Father, I pray that you help our team, Father God, and help us all, Father God, to understand, Father God, the message that Father is trying to share with us. Lord, may we rejoice. May we praise you. May we thank you for you've been so good to us. You died for us that we may have the freedom, the liberty to come before you and give you honor and thanks. So, Lord, we commit all to your hand this morning, Lord, and we pray that may bless everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thing here? Okay. If we would, to our Bibles, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be starting with the first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the scripture reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Amen.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all."
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Amen.
Amen. This morning I'd like to take a subject of the placing of gifts. The placing of gifts. So the Lord put this on my heart either in November or December, but a while back. Just now being able to bring it before you. And so I trust that the Lord will help us this morning. And, you know, we as ministers, we're not any different than anybody else. And so we are learning this thing together. Amen.
Amen.
So whatever God's placed on our hearts is for a reason. And so dig into it the best that I can, the best of the ability God gives me. And then it's for all of us, for you all, myself, as we go through these scriptures and I've dig into the message of the hour, it's very helpful because sometimes we gloss over things,
amen.
I guess. Sometimes we get in a carnal state sometimes that we feel like we understand most things and we've come this far, but when you kind of dig in to the message and really soak it in, research and, you know, go through all the scriptures and the message, then you realize that there's a lot of things that you don't know.
That's right. Amen.
And so we know that our God's an eternal God, and we know that the depths are very deep, and so not just very deep but eternal. So
amen.
When we dig into the word, then there's always more that we can glean out of the word.
Amen.
And so that's what I find remarkable about how God is and how he works, is that you can never get bored with
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I mean, it's just
Amen.
A never-ending fountain there.
Amen.
It's just that sometimes we in our minds, we think that there's limitations, but there really isn't.
Amen.
So by God's grace, we're going to go into this. There's different areas that you can, angles or whatnot, that you can go with the scriptures, but we know that God has gifted each one of us in a certain way, and no one of us are the same.
That's right.
And so God, he's a God of variety.
Amen.
And so when we look at, you know, science and different things, there's a difference between each individual.
Amen.
The fingerprints are different, the DNA is different, everything is unique. You look in nature, there's so much uniqueness out there. So when we try to mirror off of somebody else and their gift and who they are, that's not what God wants us to do. You know, Brother Branham talked about how, you know, I cannot be like Billy Graham, but Billy Graham cannot be me.
Amen.
And so no one can take our place, either one of us. And so we each have a special place in God's economy. So nobody is different than the other. But the thing of it is, we need to realize where we're supposed to stand in our position. And so the Word of God gives us the revelation of that. And just this quote here, in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, I just want to reiterate this. The new birth is Christ is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth.
Amen.
Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest? If the church only knew its position, it will one day.
Amen.
Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now notice, so there's a revelation for us to understand the whole picture of what God wants us to understand. And so who we are and where we stand in God's economy.
Amen.
And so each of us has a different role in life.
Right.
And each of us has different role, several roles, I guess. And so, for example, a man. So I'll take myself for instance. I am a father, but I'm also a son. I am a husband, but I'm also a son of God.
Amen.
I'm those different roles. I'm a person in the body of Christ that fulfills a position. And so there's several different roles that God wants us to understand who we are. He wants each one of us as our fathers in here to be the right kind of father.
Amen.
He wants each one of us in here to be the right kind of husband, the right kind of son of God, the right kind of son to their earthly father,
Amen.
The right kind of brother, the right kind of sister. And there's a position that you edify the body of Christ by the gift that God's placed into you.
Amen.
And so it's very unique. And if everything is working together, then everybody's going to benefit from all those different gifts that are there. It's not a one-man show. It's not a two-man show. It's not a five-man show. It's a body move. And so each one fulfills it. And when we are working in harmony together, then it all works out correctly.
Amen.
And so human nature causes us to have issues and have problems, as well as the devil, which causes the disharmony. And so we, by God's grace, looking at the scriptures, can be aware of those things that the devil tries to put there so that harmony can be maintained. Because when there's harmony, then God continues to move forward.
Amen.
If you look in the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4, remember God gave gifts unto men, right? And he said the fivefold ministry, of course, and for the perfecting of the saints. And it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and to the stature of a perfect man of Christ. And so all these gifts are there to edify the body so that we can come into the unity and to the fullness of the stature of Christ. If you remember what I just read, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The revelation is to bring in the perfect harmony.
Amen.
And then we realize who we are, our position, and you know we're not, you know, making mistakes here and mistakes here. We understand and we can stand firmly, and then the rapture will go.
Amen.
And so we've got to have confidence in what we're doing. We have to have confidence in our position as a son of God, as a father, mother, daughter, wife, whatever position that we're fulfilling, but we have to fulfill it with confidence, knowing that this is the right way to go, knowing that this is what God has revealed is the right way. And when we stand in perfect confidence, that is the faith that God is talking about, because when you have confidence in what you're doing and that God is behind you, then you can stand against the devil anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance.
Amen.
And fight him and defeat him by the authority given to us as children of God. Now, when we go in through this, 1 Corinthians, so in verses 4 through 6, it talks about the diversities. And so, you know, it's you know, we tend to sometimes human nature have clans, cliques, and different things. And the reason why we do that is because it's comfortable. And so we go with what we know, and that's what we tend to go on. You know, sometimes we lean on being together, different races and cultures, right? We do that. And we do that, you know, same language. We kind of do that, right? And same interests and different things. And so we understand that those things are the natural ways, but God wants us as the body of Christ. And, you know, we have a lot of different nations represented in this congregation, which is a wonderful thing. But we cannot let, you know, it's just the Spanish-speaking group and then, you know, the Africans over here. And then, you know what I'm saying? So we must, we're all brothers and sisters. And so we've got to not go by how we feel or what's comfortable, but what the Word of God tells us to. And so we need constant correction, I believe. We need to hear the Word of God often because if we don't, then we tend to drift. Amen. And so we need to be recaged. Now, so these gifts, administrations, operations, they're to be for one thing, and that's to profit. Profit the body of Christ. Profit the move of God, the will of God, okay? And so it's no other purpose, not for because I want this or, you know, I want to be this or, you know, whatever my personal desire. No, it's not for any of that. It's not to bring glory to ourselves, but it's to give glory to God. Amen. Now, he says in verse 8, for one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So he breaks out all these different gifts, as we know, tongues and interpretations of tongues, prophecy helps governments in different things in the fivefold ministry. He says, same Spirit. If you can notice throughout the scripture, he always says, it's the same Spirit. There's diversity, but it's the same Spirit. The nature is the same. It may manifest itself in different ways, but the nature is the same. And you know, different people in the body of Christ are made so they can minister to different parts in a way that another person could not, right? And we know there's several different examples of that in the scriptures. One that comes to mind is the woman that God was putting on her heart to pray for the baby because she was a mother, and she was the woman with the baby was going in the prayer line, and so she was waiting to go there because she felt and she believed that if she was in the prayer line that she would be her baby would be healed. But God had a different way, you know, because, you know, in the scripture it says he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And so sometimes when we can relate to somebody a little bit better, sometimes we can understand the person and God can work through that relation and to work so that we have sympathy or compassion, and then that person can be delivered. And that's what happened in that case. You know, brother, she came to the prayer line, and then when Brother Bram started to talk to her, because the woman, she felt in her heart to pray for the baby, and she did, that older lady, when coming to the prayer line, then Brother Bram says, you know, here's what was wrong with your baby, but your baby's already healed, because there was a woman up there, and he kind of pointed out who she was, and she did this, and he talked about the whole story. So different parts of the body minister to different parts of the body.
Amen.
And so it's not just the minister, it's not just the deacon, it's not just whoever, it can be any of us.
Amen.
And so the bottom line is that we need to be led by the Spirit of God. As God inspires us and moves us, then we need to follow that leading. Those who are children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, so with the word of knowledge, so Brother Branham talks about the word of knowledge here, and I'm not going to be able to go to every gift, but he speaks of the word of knowledge. He says, and God likened the prophet to the eagle. This is 1957, the impersonation of Christianity. That would go in the makeup of a prophet. He is a seer that in the spirit climbs beyond the emotion of the church. He climbs above it. You know, sometimes we get caught in emotion, but he climbs above that. He goes beyond the rhythm of the music. So sometimes we're swayed by emotion and music, but he's bringing him up to a higher stratosphere. And each one of us need to climb up higher, right? Sometimes we get caught up in this lower level, and they're nice and everything, but God's called us higher. He goes beyond the clapping of the hands. He goes beyond the joy among the saints. He goes beyond all that. God brings him up into a realm alone. Then he opens his eyes and he lets him look around and see things that is to come. Then he brings him back down among the members of the body. So we all have been there and we understand sometimes when we get in prayer and the word of God that God brings us out. Amen. And the things that we were thinking about and things that we were placing so much importance on, they kind of just fade away. And so you can see that that's what God wants to bring his prophets to. That's what God wants to bring us to. Now I see things that is to come. Then he brings him back down among the members of the body to foretell them what is in the making. So God had took Ezekiel high and far up and let him see around about 2,600 years. Think of it now. And let him have a prophet is also a gift of knowledge. So there you go, gift of knowledge. A knowledge is like an attorney who studies the books. And when you go to hire an attorney to plead your case, he's only taking what he knows. Amen. And you're paying for what he knows to present your case before the judge. So God gave him that knowledge, and that brother presents that knowledge of what he knows of what God has given. And all the gifts are given by God. Glory. And now a gift of knowledge in the Bible is prophecy, which goes up and finds out these things that are to come and brings them back down. But of course, they must compare with the Bible, with the book. If they're out of the book, then they're not received. Amen. Amen. So now, moving on. So you can keep your place in 1 Corinthians 12, because we're going to kind of go through these scriptures. So verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, amen, dividing to every man severally as he will, showing that it is ordained of God how these gifts are distributed. Amen. So you can't want to be this or have this gift. God gives them as he ordains them, amen, to be, and through his sovereignty. Amen. And so it's always God, it's all in all. It's the intelligence of God, it's the mind of God, it's the will of God through it all in all. Now he says here, verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are the one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So now it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that brings us into the body of Christ. And so we cannot be in the body of Christ unless we are baptized by the Holy Ghost. And when we are baptized, then God places us in the body. And so if you remember the types, then Joshua was a representation of the Holy Ghost. So Moses brought the people up to Canaan, or the Jordan, representing death. And so when you die to yourself, then you receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because it is no more you living there, but you've given that up so that God can come in. And so when God comes in, then God takes control of your life. And so it's permeating from the inside out. And so when they went into the land of Canaan, then Joshua was leading the people of Israel into that land and placing each one into that land. So he said, Judah, go there. Ephraim, go there. Manasseh, go there. And so he's placing, just like we are placed in the body of Christ, amen, by the Holy Ghost. Glory. Hallelujah. So baptized into one body. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, everyone is unique and they're born with a gift. Now, let me just expound on that a little bit. From the message, At Thy Word, 1953. There's many things that happen, and you know that, each one of you. There's things that only God and I know alone. There's things that many people know, but there's things that only you and God know. Amen. He does that. And there's the way, that way in your life. There is in everybody's life. There's just you and God alone. And many times I've heard people say, Brother Branham, how do you see visions? How do you do this? Well, just as soon as I said you, why do you got blue eyes? Why have you got brown eyes? Why have you an ear on the side of your head? Now, why? That's just the same question. It's just the way it is. It's the way that you were born. It's the way that God made you and I.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
God put it there. You say, well, that's the same way. See, it's just that way. It's just there's nothing you can put in yourself. God, when we are come on this earth, them qualities are in you for different things. Like, for instance, this musician here. I want my little girl to do the same thing this lady is doing here, to play music. Well, now, if it's in her, she'll do it. You can't force it. If it isn't, won't do any good to give her lessons, because she'll never make it. And I'm sure many of you all have witnessed that, and maybe frustrated sometimes. Because when we're little kids or younger, and our parents don't realize it, but sometimes they create an environment of competition with the children. And it can be funny from a parent's perspective, but as a child, sometimes it can be very frustrating and very, you get upset about it, right? And, you know, like, some one brother is a little bit smarter than the other, gets better grades, and so you continually compare yourself with your brother, but that's not how God made you. I mean, he made him to be that academic type, and unfortunately, school kind of brings those things out because, you know, school is very narrow. It's about education. It's about learning, but there's so much more that we have than education, and so a child can, you know, get discouraged and all those different things if they look at that, right?
That's right.
Because, you know, music ability, personality, you know, ways that people deal with others, those are things that you don't really deal with academics.
That's right.
So, you know, everybody is a little bit different in that way, but we have to see that God made us that way and appreciate how God made us. And look for, you know, the qualities that God built in us, and so let those things come through and to recognize it and let God take it in that direction.
Amen.
So Amen. He says here about, the music. Okay, she'll do it. If it wasn't, won't do any good for her to have lessons. Now, here's some time ago, I was buying my little baby one of those little pianos for Christmas. Oh, I think it cost $1.25 or something. It's about that big. I'm not sure what he means by that. I don't have the visual. I had my finger trying to pick out a tune of it, you know. It had little keys, and I'd hold up my hand. I was picking away on something, and my wife, she might know about two chords, so she was trying to show me how to make that chord or something. I was standing there trying to pick on it, and a little boy come up. Oh, poor little ragged-looking fellow. He said, his teeth out in front, and his face needed washing, and his little trouser was raggy and dirty. And he looked at me and said, "What are you trying to do, mister?" I said, "Well, son, I'm wondering myself." I said, "I was trying to hit this key here to make this chord here." And he said, "Let's see you do it." Well, I tried it. And he said, "Can I try it?" I said, "Yes, sir, sure can." He set that little thing down and played as pretty a tune as you ever heard on that. He know just how to hit it. Now there's more to this. He says, and then he looked at me and kind of grinned and walked out there. And there's one of these little xylophones, you know, just about that long, little old hardware store where they had little cheap things for children. So we got up these little things here and played Silent Night, just as pretty as I ever heard it of anything. That said, that's right. And I said, "Well, son, did you ever have a music lesson?" He didn't even know what it was. That's a gift, brothers and sisters.
Glory.
So we picked up a piece of gas pipe back there that Mr. Rush had been cut off and blowed the Star Spangled Banner through that gas pipe like that. Now there, I said, "Mr. Rush," which was a Catholic by faith, I said, he was schoolmates together. I said, "Al, you see what I'm talking about. That boy don't need a music lesson. He was born that way." We're born that way. And so we have to see how God, remember, a true gift is a true gift. And when you see a true gift working and operating, it is a tremendous blessing of God if used in the right way. And so you see how some people try to do things and try to think they have a gift, but it doesn't come out quite right. It's because the gift is not there. And so, but when, you know, a person really finds what That God has gifted them and they let God take control of that. Man, it's a blessing Amen. To the people of God.
Amen. Glory.
Now, he says this. Okay, talking about the music and everything, he says it's a divine gift. It's just like, okay, talking about the vision, it's a divine gift. It's just like a gift to play music. Now, I'm going to skip through a little bit here about, so he talks about music. I don't know whether it's in tune or out of tune. I just know it's making a noise and it's music, just Brother Branham's description. And that's all I know about it. If you listen to Brother Branham sing songs, you can tell that he doesn't really always know the tune. But remember, it's a joyful noise. It's from the heart. And so he's just singing from the heart. And that's all I know about it. But let it get out a little tune. They could tell you because they're musicians. And so my wife has this gift. I mean, she can, you know, you have the sheet music, and she can look at a note and know exactly how that's supposed to sound, and she can sing that. And I know a little bit about music, but I don't know that much about music. And I can't just do the whole tune there without, you know, having a key for reference kind of thing. But that's a gift as well. Now, well, I wouldn't know. And to build this house, I was noticing the architect of it. I'd like to see one like this I'd build. It would look horrible. But you see, God has men to build houses. There's men to build houses. If you look in the scriptures in the Old Testament who build the tabernacle and all these different things, there were men that were gifted to do that. He has some to preach the gospel, some to teach. God has said in the church and so forth. And he goes on to talk about the fivefold ministry. Now back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? They're all part of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It is. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now we're going to go a little bit deeper into this here in a second. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So you are who you are because it pleased God to make you that way. And so if you're a God-loving Christian that loves God with all your heart, you want to please God. And so how God made you, you want to be pleased to just be that person. If it's whatever job it is or whatever gift it is, no matter how you think and esteem it, God, if you're a child of God, you want to be the best you can in that gift and not look at other people and say, like, I wish I was this. Then you're rejecting God's plan for you and you're rejecting the word of God. And so we want to be who God made us to be. Now, take your position where God has placed you, not where he has placed others. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So it's not wise in God's eyes to compare yourself with other people. You have your own life to live. You have your own path that God has made you. He did not make you to mimic somebody else's family or life, but he made you to go a certain direction. He made you to live a certain place. He made you to go a certain church. He made you to have a certain job. And so we are not to copy one another, but we are to be exactly who God called us to be. Now, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner. This is verse 7 of chapter 7. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. Now, Brother Brandon brings this out a little bit more in the message adoption. So he says here, remember adoption, he's talking about placing of the body of Christ, the placing of the church. So Ephesus here sets us like Joshua positionally. You notice Joshua, after crossing over the land and taking the land, then he divided the land. Ephraim here, Manasseh here, this one here, Gad here, Benjamin here, he divided the land. And notice, oh, this just burns our hearts. Each one of those Hebrew mothers giving birth to those children, she spoke the very place in the labor pains. So each one of those names had a specific meaning of where they were supposed to be.
Amen.
And so your name was given for a specific meaning and purpose. You know, Brother Branham says your name is very important. And so he talks about the negative. He's like, don't ever name your child Ricky or, you know, and he talks about how Elvis means a cat, and he talks about the negativity of that. But he says there's a meaning, there's an association, there's a character attached to the name.
Amen.
So he says, it's a great study. If we could only go into details, which would take hours after hours. Someday when we get our church fixed, I'd just like to come and take a solid month or two going through that, he talks about. Watch, when they, each one of those mothers, when she called out Ephraim, when she was in layer positionally placed and where his feet was setting in oil, just exactly every one of them where they were at. And Joshua, not knowing this, but by inspiration. Inspiration is so important. Inspiration, led of the Holy Spirit, after being into the promised land, gave each man his promise, exactly what the Holy Spirit promised through the birth back there. How that God had set some in the church through the labor pains. So labor pains bring us about the positioning. Oh, they get tremendous sometimes when a church is groaning under the persecution of the outside world, believing on the Lord Jesus that the promise of the Holy Ghost is just as real to us as it was to Pentecost. How they groan and cry under labor pains. But when they are born, positionally born into the kingdom of God, then the Holy Ghost has set in the church some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, some evangelists. Then he's given to their speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues, knowledge, wisdom, gifts of healing, all kinds of miracles. Now he goes on to say in adoption a little bit further, where the church is. Now this is my purpose of doing this. The church, listen to this, the church is always trying to take somebody else's corner. But don't do that.
Amen.
You can never raise corn in Ephraim's corner if you're Manasseh. You've got to take your place in Christ positionally. Take it.
Amen.
Now, so God wants us to place us exactly where we need to go. Now, sometimes things are fuzzy for us, right? When I was a child, I talked as a child, I acted as a child, but when I was a man, I put away childish things. So, depending on where our walk is with the Lord, depends on how clearly we can see things.
Amen.
Remember in the scripture of the stature of a perfect man that he says, if these virtues be in you, then, you know, you will be, let's just, I don't want to say it wrongly, but go to 1 Peter, 1 or 2 Peter, I think it's 1st, no, it's 2nd. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things be in you, these qualities, faith, temperance, patience, all those different things. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful.
Amen.
In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So if you lack these things and you can't see well, but if you have them, you can see well. Do you understand? And so we may be stepping on each other's toes a little bit. You know, and we're not doing it intentionally. But we're doing it. And so the thing of it is that we have to continually follow the Lord and be obedient to His Word. And as God shows us, then we humble ourselves to the Word and then get ourselves in line, right? And so, you know, correction's okay. There's nothing wrong with correction. Children get corrected, and they don't have all the answers. You know, my children, they don't have all the answers, even though they're growing, you know, coming to adulthood. They still need lots of guidance and, you know, advice and different things like that. And so we are constantly learning as we're progressing until we die. Right? Or we leave this earth. So we have to be constantly learning from our mistakes and learning as we're going along. Even the oldest in here, I don't know what the oldest is age, but that brother or sister, whoever it is, I'm sure will say amen, that they're still constantly learning. But don't do that. You can never raise corn in Ephraim's corner. If you're Manasseh, you got to take your place in Christ positionally, take it. Oh, it gets deep and rich when we get in here, how that God puts one in the church to speak with tongues, another. Now, we have been taught many times we'll have to speak with tongues. That's wrong. We all got to do it. No, we don't. They all didn't do one thing. Each one has. Everybody's got something different. The land was provided and divvied up by inspiration. And each one, I could take the scriptures and show it to you exactly that he put them in the place where they were supposed to be positionally, how that the two tribes was to stay across the river, how that their mothers cried that in their birth, and how that each place was supposed to be. Are we all together?
Amen.
Okay, we're all understanding. We're all, Amen. In the military terms, we say we're all tracking. You know, you got an aircraft over there you're trying to track. We're all tracking. Therefore, make sure that, okay, Christ is revealed in his own word. Therefore, whatever the will of God is, let God's will be done. Whether I'm happy with it or not, I want to live so he will be pleased with what I do. We want to please God. That's the foremost and most important thing that we want to do in a Christian life. Therefore, check your objective and your motives. So why am I doing this? You know, what's driving me to do this? Is it God? Is it the word? Or is it some personal ambition? But we always have to check why we're doing things. And that'll help us to see whether we need corrections or not. And sometimes, you know, don't feel condemned if you've done it for the wrong motive or objective. We just correct ourselves and then get back on track. Now, what if he'd say, you serve me if I'm going to cast you away? So now he's really getting to the true love of God, that we want to do anything that God wants us to do. You serve me if I'm going to cast you away. I love you anyhow. So it's most important to the true believer that they follow the will of God. If God's will is to cast them away, they want to fulfill that will. That's how much we have to have the desire to please God.
Amen.
Therefore, if the church would see that and could believe it in that manner, it wouldn't be one trying to jerk the football away from the other fellow when he's running with it. He would be protecting that one,
Amen.
See? When real, true motive and objective wouldn't be one trying to say, hey, I got this tool. This is me. And so if somebody has got something and running with it and, you know, God is blessing, then praise God, right?
Amen.
Don't try to stop the person. Don't try to, you know, don't get jealous of the person. Remember where that comes from. Don't try to mimic the person, but just support the person. So it says right here, it says, God can't use a man like that. There is no such impersonation follows him. That's Satan. And the people can't realize that. They're trying to take the ball from somebody that's been given. Let God raise up a certain ministry and watch how many goes after it. See? Now, genuine love for God, no matter what part I am, Lord,
Amen.
If I can only say a word for it, help protect it, let me do that.
Amen.
If I just need to sweep the floor, you know, Brother Marcel talked about having to clean the toilets, you know, at one of the camps and things. If that's what I need to do to support, then let me do that. That's the same thing would be about your wife. If you really love her, see? It's not a filial love, it's an agape love.
Amen.
A genuine love. She could live with somebody else happier. You're not married now, of course, you can't. And, you know, if you're not married and, you know, that person that you love wants to marry somebody else and you have agape love, you'll want her to do that and be happy.
Amen.
That's true love. That's the love of God. Doesn't matter about me, it just matters what is best in God's eyes. Now, verse 19, and if they were all one body, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if they were all one body, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, so that everyone is equal in the sight of God.
Amen.
Everybody has a different role, right?
Amen.
But they're all equal in the sight of God.
Amen.
You know, a husband has a different role than the wife. That does not make him better than the wife.
That's right.
She fills a role that he cannot fill.
That's right.
And he fills a role she cannot fulfill. Amen. And so they work together in harmony. And when they work together in harmony, then everything works out great. Because she has an aspect that he doesn't have, the feminine, the nurturing, you know, all those different feminine qualities, the sensitivity and things like that, that is good for the kids. But then the man has the job to lead the family. He's there to bear the burdens. He's there to fight the fight. You know, he's got to protect the home. Evil spirits, you know, or physical things, he's got to go out there. He's got to endure hardship.
Amen.
Right? He's got to fight. He's got to be the protector. The wife is not made for that. And if she's doing that, then maybe the husband's not doing his job.
That's right.
So, you know, we got to look at those things. But each of us have our own role.
Hallelujah.
Now,
amen.
He says, let's see. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we just bestow more abundant honor. Okay. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. Tempered means to unite one thing to another. So he's tempered the body together, bringing it into unity, so that there is no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So there's no division in the body. So that's why Brother Brandon harps on no division, harmony, and different things. And so we've got to let love govern. And if there's issues, then we got to address those issues. And by God's grace, we can maybe talk about it here before we close. So unity brings the gifts. Now, I believe that the Pentecostal church has all 9 spiritual gifts operating it, but it's so mixed up. If we could only get quieted down away from our differences and become one great united body, God would place those gifts exactly where they belong.
Amen.
So that's part of it. So if, you know, if we're not seeing this, then maybe there's a problem with the unity. You know what I mean? And maybe it seems like there's where we need to be, but maybe we need to go further, right? Now, then you'd see miracles done, signs and wonders done. These gifts, like speaking with tongues, how we misuse that, just fly loose any time. Did you realize that that's wrong? Certainly it is, but put it in its place and let it be used exactly the way God intended it to be. It'll bring down the power and blessings of God out of place. It'll cause confusion. So we need God's discernment to show us exactly how we're supposed to do things and how we're to be placed. Because it can be the big difference between confusion and humongous blessings of God. Let's see. Okay, this will probably be the last thing I can read before we have to close and then probably have to continue it on. Now, he says this in Revelation chapter 5 series, 1961. Now as pastor and me going away, being your assistant with you, here in the work of the Lord, and as Paul would say, I charge you before God and the elect angels, see, and to this church here, there is a perfect example on what to do if somebody gets out of order in the church. Now, this could happen to any of us, you know, and, you know, all of us can use correction like I talked about before. Now, if there comes something up in the church that's not right, then let the individual who knows that's not right go to the person. And if the person will not be reconciled, then the next thing to do is to take a witness and go, or maybe one or two witnesses, and go to this person and get them reconciled, get the thing straightened out. Now listen close. Now this is being taped also. And then if that don't work, so I appreciate brothers that can be very honest, you know. And sometimes, you know, the truth can be difficult to take. But if we have the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God wants to be right. And so, you know, different brothers I know have told me very candidly about things that they thought that, you know, that I need to be corrected on. And so I have taken it. And it's not easy, you know. How many likes correction? Can you raise your hand? I only see half. So the other half doesn't. Okay, so correction is not easy.
That's right.
And it maybe take a little time to get over sometimes. I know for me, I'm kind of an emotional person, so, you know, I have to try to keep them, you know, under control sometimes, and, you know, sometimes it gets the best of me, sometimes it doesn't, but we have to take that correction. So who knows that's not right? If you see that it's not right, you may be the only one that sees it's not right. And so he says that you've got to be the one to bring it up. And so don't just complain about the person and say, like, that person's doing this and this, and you don't ever say anything. You know, we got to be honest with each other. And it's awkward, it's difficult, and things like that, but we've got to do it. You know, that's the only way that that person may not see it, right? They may be totally blind to it. And so it's just like letting somebody run off a cliff. They don't see it coming, and you know it's coming, but you don't say anything. So we've got to be honest with each other, and we've got to be able to take the blowback, I guess, too, sometimes. Okay, let's all stand, if we would. That takes us to the time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, Lord, we all need more of you, more of the word, oh Lord, in our life, so that we can walk in the ways you want us to take our position, oh Lord, to prepare ourselves for the rapture, oh Lord. And Lord, we know that part of that is understanding and realizing our position, oh Father. And so help us to not get stuck about differences or things that catch us by the devil, carnal thinking, oh Lord, by God's grace, we can be able to see those things that you have shown us through the word and through a revelation from a prophet that you've given the words of life to speak to us. And Lord, help us as we continue to journey, oh Father, each one of us, we need you. Yes. Oh Lord, each one of us needs you, oh Father, in a great way. Help each one of us, oh Father, as we journey. Bless the song service and the preaching of the word, Lord Jesus, that we may become better Christians and better able to please you. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.